it's always been dangerous to allow our to live in a realm of soulish wisdom and talents and allow our fleshly desires to sort of run rampant, remain uncrucified, basically, when moving in the supernatural realm. Okay, so that's always a dangerous thing to try and move in the supernatural realm, to move in the gifts, to minister in the gifts, minister in that realm, but not lay your life down, not be walking a strict obedience. It's dangerous. But it's today, it's doubly dangerous because the restraint has been removed from Satan, and he now has the authority to do things he's never been allowed to do before. And one of those things he has not been allowed to do before, which he is allowed to do right now, is defile the sanctuary. He's defiled the sanctuary by duplicating all the supernatural things which pertain to the holy place realm. That is the danger that God has laid on my heart to warn people about time and time again, because they don't understand that Satan has been given the power to duplicate the holy place realm. It's a very dangerous thing. And only those who are living a crucified life and are really walking close to God in strict obedience, laying down their lives, letting the altar of incense do that work, can move in that realm without getting deceived. As a matter of fact, the people in the greatest jeopardy are those who are used to seeing stations of an unseen spiritual power. You know, they're used to receiving guidance through supernatural means, like words, dreams, visions, revelations, and all that. They're used to that, because that's the way God moves in that realm. So because they're used to that, they don't realize things have shifted. And when another spirit starts moving, because they're not taking up the daily cross, they have no idea it starts moving, because it sounds just like the Lord, if it feels like everything they're familiar with. Sounds like everything they're familiar with. The devil's been given power to go in and defile that realm by duplicating it. Okay, that's my point. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? But that wasn't always true inside the evangelical church. That's always been true in the false religions. It's always been true in the Mormons. If you don't know anything about Mormonism, the Mormons will come to your door and they'll give you all the scriptures and lay this trip on you. And they'll say, now look, if you'll just try and receive this and pray, ask the Lord, if you open your mind to the truth there, you'll get a burning in the bosom. You know, anybody ever see hear the term burning in the bosom? That's a Mormon thing. And people who open their minds and their spirits to that, the false gospel they're preaching, actually do feel a burning in the bosom. So not just in false religions, but Christian cults, that's always been true that Satan has been able to manifest his power in Jesus' name, especially the Catholics. There's all kinds of supernatural things going on in the Catholic world. But now he's never been allowed to really do that a whole lot inside the evangelical Bible-believing church. He hasn't. The time has changed. God's taken the restraint away, and he's not allowed to do that. The only thing that's going to hinder him is whether or not we're walking in crucified life. The only thing that can stop is if we're actually living and walking where the altar of incense is. Then he can't really get in. We have enough discernment to start feeling it and sensing it. He gets into that temple by deceiving us with what? Supernatural power, supernatural signs, lying wonders. It all has to do with the holy place realm. So when self-seeking, uncrucified Christians start pursuing supernatural power now, like the vineyard and all the hills, they're easy targets for those spirits. They're just open season because they're not living a crucified life and they're going after the power. They're going after everything that's in the holy place realm, and they're getting the counterfeit of it. And once Satan gets Antichrist gets a foothold in their lives, it will continue to grow and grow and grow until it takes its seat in those people. And what that means is it'll exalt itself above everything that they recognize to be God, and it will become their God. Another spirit will completely take them over, and when that happens, see, not everybody that's open up to the spirit is at the end of the trail yet. You have a beginning, and you got to go down the road a ways till this thing actually takes control of your life and actually pushes the spirit of God right out of your life. Okay, there's a ways to go there, but once you get down the end of that trail, Jesus Christ is gone, and you are desolate. It's the abomination that causes desolation. It's the abomination of the spirit that gets in a believer's life. And the end of that thing is desolation, spiritual desolation. It destroys all fruit. It destroys all the life. It slays our spiritual life. And it takes a seat on us and drives the Spirit of God right out of the temple. For Dan, is the Lord allowing this now to separate the true from the false believers? Sure, that's part of it. I think there's many reasons why it's going on, you know, but that's certainly one of them. You know, he's going to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, right? So they got to be manifest before he gathers them out. Did everybody get what I was saying? It's the holy place realm, spiritual gifts, spiritual power, spiritual anointing. And the people who are used to moving in that kind of thing, they're used to the gifts, they're used to being led supernaturally, they're used to dreams and visions and words and whatever, however the Lord has been leading them, they're used to that. And the person who's used to that moving in that kind of realm is in the most danger if they are not walking a crucified life, if they're not dead serious about what's going on right now. Because once that spirit is an exact duplicate, there's a little known passage, and even less understood, I think, in the Old Testament regarding the activity of the priests who ministered in the holy place on the Day of Atonement. Now, you all know that the Day of Atonement that was came once a year, and the high priest on that day took the blood of the animal sacrifices all the way into the Holy of Holies and made atonement for the holy place and the whole nation for the whole year. So during this time, during this one day, all the priests who were ministering in the holy place had to leave. The high priest was the only one allowed in to go in to the holy place at that point, and he was the only one allowed in the Holy of Holies. And when he went in, everybody else had to go out in the outer court. And I'm just going to read the scripture to you where it is, so you know it's in the Bible anyway. Even if you don't agree with my interpretation, at least you know it's in the Bible. It's Leviticus 16, verse 15 through 17. It's talking about the Day of Atonement and the high priest. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring his blood within the veil. That's within the Holy of Holies, okay? And do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the young children of Israel and because of their transgressions in all. And shall we do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement into the holy place until he come out and have made atonement for himself and for his household and for all the. When the high priest goes into the Day of Atonement, everybody else has to come out. All that kind of ministry has to stop. Okay. Now, I believe there's a spiritual application to that. And what it is this. We're now living in the spiritual fulfillment of the Day of Atonement. It's not one day. It's a period of time. The Feast of Tabernacles is made up of three sub-feasts. It's the blowing of trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles proper, which is called booths. Tabernacles proper, or booths, will not start until the Lord physically returns in glory. Bodily, physically returns in glory. Okay, and we go into the millennium. There's a time of joy and gathering together, and all the things that booths represents start coming to pass in the millennium. And so these three feasts are between Pentecost and the millennium. Okay, in order to get into tabernacles, you got to go through trumpets and the Day of Atonement. Now, trumpets, I believe trumpets was the literal fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets began to come to pass in 1948 when a lot of end time revelation was poured out. God called a lot of people out of the churches. The message of death to self became very prevalent. Not like it never existed, but became very prevalent. The message of corporateness, God's kind of bringing a corporate body, people getting together, living corporately, all kinds of things. The fivefold ministry came through that, which I don't really believe is even true. But there was all kinds of different came forth in the blowing of trumpets. I believe that feast has been fulfilled. I mean, that started in 1948, and it's been going on all this time. But probably somewhere, though, in the 70s, I don't know when, somewhere in the 70s, I believe, the Day of Atonement started. The Day of Atonement is that feast where you're supposed to afflict your soul, and you do no servile work, no work in the flesh. Everything has to be done by the Spirit, in the Spirit. There's no ministry, not just part ministry in the Spirit, ministry in the flesh, ministry in the soul, ministry in the Spirit. You know, there's a mixture there going all the time. In Day of Atonement, God wants that mixture stopped. He only wants people doing what he says, going where he says, saying what he says. He doesn't want us ministering to everybody's needs just because there's a need. He doesn't want us talking to people just because we should preach the gospel. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit, led by the Spirit in our praying, led by the Spirit in our witnessing, led by the Spirit in how we minister, who we minister to, how we minister to them. The Day of Atonement, there is no work of the flesh supposed to be done. Okay, and on this Day of Atonement, all the people, all those priests go out of the holy place. They go out of that realm where the supernatural gift. Now, I'm not saying people have to leave the all the gifts behind. What I'm saying is, if you're not in Christ, if you're not in that place which the Day of Atonement speaks of, where you're only doing what God says, where you're only going where God says and all that, okay, then you're going to end up getting wildfire in the holy place and not what you should get. The devil's brought wildfire into that realm, okay? Especially in the charismatic movement. The charismatic Pentecostal people are being taken over by a religious demon spirit, which I believe is the Antichrist, okay? And all these other things, having a false gospel, having false religious experiences, getting all kinds of old and crazy things, that's a manifestation of coming under the power of the Spirit. They're not the problem. The problem is the Spirit that takes them in on stuff. I like the Word of Faith movement, I believe, is a direct manifestation of the Spirit of Antichrist. And if anybody was ever in that Word of Faith movement and you came out of it, it's not good enough just to renounce the doctrines and renounce the ministers who teach it. You must pray and ask God to deliver you from the Spirit that comes to that thing. Because there's a very powerful Spirit that comes with it, and it lingers on to people and keeps trying to deceive them if they don't pray against it. You don't just get out of that thing if you're really in it deep. You don't just get out of it by renouncing the people, renouncing the doctrines. There's a spirit behind it. So what I'm saying about the holy place is what we believe is that that's a type of shadow. There's a little thing there, deeper meaning, which is if you at that time of the Day of the Atonement, when all these priests have to go out, if we're not in Christ in the sense of just doing what he says, just going where he says, just living and moving and having our being in him, not just mixture anymore, then we're open to get that wildfire. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? If you can receive it, fine. If you don't, that's fine. But what's happening now is these people who are trying to, they're trying to be, live in the holy place realm, they're trying to minister in the holy place realm, but they're not taking up the cross daily, they're not laying their lives. They're mixing the experience of the holy place realm with the false gospel of self-fulfillment or whatever it is. So my mission is, we have already time described by Daniel, which is called the abomination of desolation. It's not going to happen yet, future, in the temple over in Jerusalem. It's happening now. It's happening in God's people. Many, many, many of God's people are being taken out of Christ. So the abomination of desolation has to do with a person who has known God, who is walking in the light, yet opens up to another spirit, and that spirit becomes strong enough eventually. It makes him desolate spiritually, kills his fruit, takes away all the spiritual life in his life, drives the Spirit of God right out of his life, and he's desolate spiritually. That's already happening now. The Antichrist is already defiling that realm. He's already taken away the daily sacrifice. He's already casting the stars of heaven, which are the saints, to the ground and stomping on them. He's already causing his truth to be cast in the streets. Okay? It's all going on right now. You don't have to wait for some literal man. I mean, I do believe it's going to be a literal man, Purim. I don't believe it's going to be a literal man sitting in a little temple. But I do believe there will be a literal ruler, and a little horn of Daniel is obviously a man. He's absolutely a man. I mean, but there's also a demon spirit behind that guy. You know, that's why people get confused. There's a man, but there's also a power that's behind the guy. And when you, like what it says in Daniel, this man, a little heaven. That's not the man doing that. That's the power. That's the demonic power. The prince is doing that. Causes truth to cease. That's not the man doing it. The prince empowers that man to do that. You know, when he rises up to be equal with the prince of the host, which is Jesus. That's not the man doing that. That's the spirit. That's the power behind him. Okay. So there is going to be a man. There is going to be a government. There is going to be a religious system. But it's all coming from a demon spirit, a demonic prince, more than just a demon spirit. When we think of demon spirits, we think of murder and rape and all kinds of little things like that. Not little things, but, you know, I'm talking about demonic prince. The same prince, one of the princes that empowered Alexander the Great to take over the world in a couple years. You know, those are the kind of powers that are coming out of the pit that we're dealing with right now. Okay, so we're the bottom line is we're the temple of Antichrist wants to sit in. We're the only temple that there is, the only temple of God there is right now, the only temple of God to ever be. We're the temple that spirit wants to defile. We're the temple he wants to sit in. We're the temple he's constantly trying to get a foothold in, okay, so he can eventually make us desolate. So it's the abomination of desolation is a demonic prince that makes Christians desolate. And it's happening right now to multitudes of people as we speak, okay? So does that ring true with anybody or everybody or somebody or... Anyway... That's what I feel is going on. It's terrible what's happening. People don't see it because they're all down to natural. They're all down to carnal. They're all looking for individual, literal things. Another thing that's happening is just like God is bringing forth a corporate manifestation of his nature through the body of Christ, through Jesus. As you're connected to the head, you become a manifestation of that head. And there's a corporate Christ coming forth. You know, the word Christ doesn't always mean Jesus the person. Sometimes the word Christ in the Bible means the body of Christ or the whole Christ altogether, head and body. Okay, so God's bringing forth a many-member corporate man called the One New Man, which is going to bear his image and display all the facets of his nature to creation forever, which is a glorious, powerful thing, you know, to be part of that. But that's exactly what the devil's doing also. What he's doing is, and I'll tell you, Rick Warren, as far as I'm concerned, Rick Warren is the worst of the worst. He is the best tool Satan has ever had. Creakies, I never realized this until I started listening to you and studio. Okay, great. About the spirit of Antichrist, yeah. Perm says, I don't know any famous Christian who is not Antichrist. Okay, well, I don't know many. I think David Wilkerson is not Antichrist yet. He's pretty famous still. What do you think about David Wilkerson? I think he's a real Christian. Do you think David Wilkerson is Antichrist too? Yeah, I heard some things weren't right either. That doesn't mean he was Antichrist. But you're right, there's very few. There's very few. Anyway, so everybody got my point, right? People, you know, they tend to focus sometimes on the wrong thing. They tend to focus on self or the ministers. Like Steve says, ministers are Antichrist, which is true. I know a lot of people, end time people, who believe the man of sin is just self. They don't even talk about spirits at all. Only a spirit could come forth in people. I guess one of the reasons people can't see is a spirit because it's called the man of sin. This is one of the things this Jewish brother said to me. Oh, Rick Warren, good. I'll tell you that in a second. This Jewish guy pointed out that the man of sin is called a man of sin. In 2 Thessalonians, you know. So how could a spirit be called a man? It's called the man of sin. So I wrote back to him and I said, well, look, you know, Paul calls the old man, which is our old nature, and the new man, which is the spirit of God, a man, the old man. You know, put off the old man, put on a new man. So there's precedence in the scripture for a man not being really a man, you know, being something other, metaphorical for something else. Just like it says God has hands and feet. The hands of the Lord are under his wings. Well, God doesn't have wings. He doesn't have hands, you know, but it's metaphorical language. Yes, Rick Warren. What's happened is the spirit of Antichrist is tearing down the church. I mean, even the church in its bad condition as it was still something of the Lord in there. And he teared it all down and bring it and build it again in his own image. Okay? See, that's what Rick Warren does. And it's the spirit of Antichrist has been doing this to other people. But Rick Warren has solidified it, has mastered it, and made a franchise. Okay, the whole thing. This whole process that the Antichrist has been doing through different people, different ways, different levels for many years now. Rick Warren perfected it and made it a franchise. And it's just taken over all the churches. And what it's doing is that spirit of Antichrist is tearing down the old order, which was admittedly very wrong and very corrupted. But there's still some Jesus in some of it. Tears that whole order down and brings forth a whole new order, right? That same church. And that's what you got going with the Rick Warren thing. Then what you got is you got people coming forth in the image of Antichrist. They're going to church, and they're being changed into another image. Well, instead of being changed in the image of God, there's a corporate Antichrist also, not just a man. There's a corporate expression of Antichrist coming up that matches the corporate expression of Jesus Christ is coming up. So Rick Warren, it's not just he's a worldly person who kind of latched on to a trick or a good idea to bring the world into church and bring all these people in. He's being driven by a powerful religious spirit, and it's that powerful religious spirit is giving him success. That's what's making Rick Warren successful. The demon that's driving him. The demon that's inspiring him. Okay? And that demon is tearing down the old system and bringing forth a new system right in the same church. And that thing is going to produce an image that people are going to come forth in the image of Antichrist. And so long before the mark of the beast comes, long before a literal Antichrist comes on the scene, all these people are going to have a spiritual mark of the beast and they'll be damned. And there's no way they're not going to take the literal mark of the beast. You know, they already are coming forth in the nature of that spirit that did that to the church. And there's a corporate expression of Antichrist coming up and a corporate expression of Jesus Christ. Jim says, I heard Warren say that the churches will be the place to come and get all that we need. Yeah, he wasn't referring to Christ. I thought, yeah, like come and get your mark. Right, that's exactly right. That's exactly what he's doing. That man, he is not a Christian in any way, sense of the word. He is damned. His soul is damned. And he's one of the biggest tools Satan has used the last 5 or 10 years to destroy the church. There's a power behind him. Just like the little horn has a power behind him that makes him succeed. All the people trying to win the culture war. All the people trying to get revival to the church. All the people trying to do all these things. They're wasting their time. They got good motives. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm sure a lot of them are Christians, and they've got good motives, and God understands all that. However, just about on the practical level, what they're doing, they're wasting their time because God's given Satan the power to win. He's given the little horn the power to prosper in everything he does. That's why nobody can stop Rick Warren. They're trying to expose Rick Warren. How many times have we quoted his anti-Christ, anti-gospel, worldly, satanic things he said on the air, he said in magazines. He's showed his colors over and over again, and he's been exposed over and over again by people. And the Christians can't hear it because he's being empowered by a demon, a prince. He's not just a man living in worldly ways, come up with a worldly concoction to make the church better. He was overtaken by a powerful demonic prince. That prince is used to destroy the old order and bring up the new order. So that's what's happening. He's reforming the global church, and everybody that stays in that church, stays in that system, is going to come forth in the image of Antichrist spiritually, and they're going to be damned long before the mark comes out. You know. So Rebecca 77 says, well, "I was late getting here. What? Yeah." Yeah, you have to. I can't go through all that again. I'm sorry. But we're talking about the Antichrist spirit, you know, and how dangerous it is. It's the Antichrist spirit that's producing all the stuff we're seeing. People look at the great apostasy, and they blame the ministers. They blame psychology. They blame the flesh. They blame whatever. They blame all kinds of things, but they won't acknowledge the true root of this, what's going on, is a demonic power. The demonic power has been given the authority to overcome the church. And the only people who are not going to be overcome by that power right now are the people who are dead serious about walking with Jesus and obeying Jesus and stay close to him and recognize that the holy place realm is being defiled and to walk in that realm very carefully. Walk very softly in the holy place realm. Don't assume that everything you're getting, just like before, if everything you get before was God, don't assume it's all still going to be God. Check it out. Ask God for discernment. You know, understand that spirit has been given power to duplicate the holy place realm experiences. It's very important we understand that, and very few Christians do, because I can tell they don't because of what they're blaming things on. They're blaming the apostasy on false leaders. They're blaming the apostasy on this and that, and the arm of the flesh. They're blaming the apostasy on all kinds of things that are not the true root. the true root is demonic prince. Okay, so and that prince is one of those princes in Rick Warren, no doubt. I mean, he has a, you know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against a principality. I think Rick Warren has a principality in him. He don't just have a demon; he has a principality living in there. You know, it's a power, and you can't stop him. He's going like a steamroller. Nobody can stop him. You know, I mean, he comes out and shows his colors, speaks blasphemy on the air. Doesn't faze anybody because he's. There's a power empowering him. The same kind of power that gets behind these world rulers and empowers them, he's empowering Rick Warren. You know, and people are going to come up after him, no doubt. They're like him, you know, doing the same kind of thing. Reforming the old church into an Antichrist church, and all those people are going to come forth in the Antichrist image. And by the time the mark comes, they ain't going to reject that mark. If it's literal, they ain't going to reject it. There's no way. They've already, their whole life has been consumed by the Spirit. There's no way they're going to stand up, rise up, and then deny it when it comes to the literal mark. So, that was my burn for tonight. Anybody else have anything now? Let me stop talking, and let somebody else say something. Kirby says, "Can you give me another name other than Wilkerson that's not preaching another gospel?" I don't believe that everybody's apostate. Well, you're saying everybody that's famous is apostate, right? I agree with that. Probably, maybe Wilkerson's the only one left. I don't know. Okay, hang on a second. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, hi Dan and everybody. A really good word, good teaching. It was just a really good confirmation I needed to hear. And about the time I'm kind of having some wrestling, it seems like the Lord, I'll get a word like this, and it just kind of that little prod that I'm on track. And so I really appreciate that. Just a little comment about Wilkerson, and it's only something to consider. Just the system that he's in. I've been kind of studying about that Nicolaitan spirit, and I just wonder, you know, with just the whole pastor thing and a man, you know, being a head and shoulders above the rest, it just gives me a little bit of a check. That's all. So thanks again, Dan. Bye.
Okay. Thanks for sharing, Jim. You're right. However, let me say this. The clergy lady thing has been around ever since, I don't know, 400 AD, I guess. Somewhere between 350 and 400 AD, the thing really got solidified, okay? And even when the Reformation came and we got out of the Roman Catholic stew temporarily, somewhat, still the clergy lady thing was still there. So it's bad. You can say the system is, they're keeping people from growing in the spirit. Some systems are worse than others. I mean, some denominations have a worse system than others. But I don't believe you can just look at that whole system and say everybody in there is damned, all the preachers are damned, they're not right, you're not preaching the true gospel. It's this. That's all they know. That's all we've known as Christianity since 1700, whatever. That's all people know. And God does work with us